Amen. He is so worthy. For years, for 14 years, I sat under Pastor Butch White, and he asked this question all the time. He'd get up and he'd say, "What's his name?" And the congregation knew what to say, and they would say, and he'd say, "How much power does he have?" And then he asked this last question, "And where does he live?" "In me." "In me." So if the Father's love is going to break through, it's going to have to break through me. So it's not something mystical that's going to happen. It's not saying, if the Father's love is going to work in the time that we live, it's going to have to work through me. What's his name? How much power has he got? Where does he live? In me. He lives in me. He's in you right now. He's in you. Sam, I believe if anything's going to get done in the day that we live, it's going to get done through the church. I believe if anything's going to happen, it's going to happen through the church. Can you say amen? He gave us the keys. And when he gave us the keys, he gave us power. We have an obligation. We have an opportunity. Man, what a privilege it is to be his church. Can you say amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. 2 Corinthians 5, 15. I'm just going to talk to you maybe tonight. I may yell it. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. 2 Corinthians 5, 15. "And that he died for who?" Who died for all? Jesus died for all. "That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Let me read that again. You can sit down. "And that he died for all. That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Amen. You can be seated. What about me? What about me? What's in it for me? We ask those questions a lot, don't we? What about me? What about me? What about me? He said that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. We have not been called to live unto ourselves. There's your sermon. God bless you. Let's stand up. We have not been saved to be self-centered religionists. I never was saved to live unto myself. I was saved by him to live for him. And that is so profound, but it's so complicated sometimes. Because the complication comes in is when I need something or I want. Let's be honest. How many times have you prayed for God to move on something and he didn't move the way you thought he should, and you thought, "God, it's me. Why didn't you work for me? Why didn't you do this for me?" Anybody ever had that issue? Most of the people in here, we've been maybe borderline frustrated. At least we wondered why God didn't move in the time that we had allotted him to move in. This ain't about me. It's about him. And when we learn this, we can pray prayers like this a lot more easy. "Thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, let's let your will be done." The key is, as a child of God, it is it's my privilege to come in alignment with his will, and you will never be more satisfied than you are in the will of God. There's no joy that this world can give me, Aaron, like walking in the will of God. There's nothing this world can supply me that will satisfy like his presence. Can you say amen? There's nothing in this world that can come even close to fulfilling me like his presence. There is nothing like having the presence of God in your life, because even in the trial, as long as his presence is there, you're going to make it. Even in the fire, as long as his presence is there, you're going to make it. Even in your weakness, as long as his presence is there, you're going to make it. Amen. It's supposed to be an eyewitness account from New York City. It says, on a cold day in December, some years ago, you may have heard this story, you're going to hear it again. A little boy about 10 years old was standing before a shoe store on the roadway, barefooted, peering through the window and shivering with cold. A lady approached the young boy and said, "My, but you're in such deep thought staring in that window. I was asking God to give me a pair of shoes," was the boy's reply. The lady took him by the hand, went into the store, asked the clerk to get half a dozen pairs of socks for the boy. She then asked if she could give her a basin of water and a towel. He quickly brought them to her. She took the little fella to the back part of the store and, removing her gloves, knelt down, washed the little boy's feet and dried them with the towel. By this time, the clerk had returned with the socks, placing a pair upon the boy's feet. She purchased for him a pair of shoes. She tied up the remaining pair of socks, gave them to him, patted him on the head, and said, "No doubt you will be more comfortable now." As she turned to go, the astonished kid caught her by the hand and, looking up at her face with tears in his eyes, asked her, "Are you God's wife?" That might not do anything to you hard-hearted people that are in here tonight, but man, that does something to me. Are you God's wife? I was asking him for something and you showed up. I was praying and you showed up. Eddie, we're never going to do that if we're living for ourselves. If that was some of us, you know what we did? We just stood there and went, "Lord, give me a sign. Should I go? Should I help this kid? Who's his parents? I tell you what, he probably deserves where he is because his parents are all messed up. And who? I can't help. She didn't ask for a sign. She didn't pray. No. As one preacher said, no trumpets, no signs, no trumpets. She just needed a need, and she met the need. Let me tell you how this world is going to understand that we are his disciples, because we love one another. I want you to hear this, because this is my heart tonight. We love one another. That's how they will know that we are his disciples. Not that we cast out demons, not that we preach good, not that we shout good, not that we got it all together, not that we're this, not that we're that. There's one way that this world will know that we are his disciples and that we love one another. Can you say amen? It's the love of God. The love of God is the greatest, most powerful thing that we can apply to situations. Amen. It's an agape love. It doesn't even have to be loved back, and it loves anyway. It doesn't have to get anything in return, but it loves anyway. It doesn't have to get a blessing. Here's the problem with prosperity preaching. The problem with prosperity preaching is it promises us exactly the things that our flesh desires. Amen? If you come to Jesus, you'll get this, 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 and this. And it's always what our flesh desires. You'll get more money. You'll be prosperous. The key is we get so caught up on what could bless our flesh that we miss the true purpose of the gospel. The true purpose of the gospel is to have the mind of Christ and walk like Christ. Listen, I am not a disciple of Paul. I'm a disciple of Jesus. So if I look into the scripture and I figure out who he is, then my goal is to become more like him. Amen. Watch this. You ready? I'm going to give you a statement. Ready for this statement? I absolutely love liberals. Why are you laughing? I absolutely love liberals. Let me tell you what the church has done. The church is looking at the people across the tracks And we have somehow condoned ourselves disliking to the point of almost hating people because of where they stand. Here's the problem with that. We can be religious like that, but we're not going to see people healed. You know why we're not going to see people healed? Because God don't move in hateful people. It's the love of God that has to be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which has given us. I got to be really careful right here because I'm not political. I'm not even politically correct. Some of y'all say amen. Some of you say you wish your pastor would be more politically correct. Some of you are okay with it. Some of you, I know. I'm not political, but it's amazing how the church has become so political. Somehow we think we're, Elder Tucker, is it okay to say this? Is it okay to say what I'm getting ready to say? All right, it's on Eddie now. We think somehow we're more saved if we buy clothes from a Trump store. I better be careful. Nah, I can't be careful tonight. We think somehow if we're on the right, we're more saved because we sure don't want to be on the left. Come on. Y'all don't want to talk to me tonight, do you? Y'all don't want to talk. Well, I tell you, preacher, it's bad. Let me tell you what happened. There are thieves on the right side of him and there's thieves on the left side of him. I don't care which side you're on as far as that goes. There's thieves on both sides. But here's what I want to get to. I want to get to the place where I can touch the one in the middle and he can save some of the thieves. Because I don't care which side of the aisle you're on. We need Jesus. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. It's not about the elephant. It's not about the donkey. It's about the lamb. And when we get that down, we understand that it's not about the kingdom of this world. It's about his kingdom. There's my rant for today. Hope you enjoyed that. Leave it alone. He said, he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. How can you do that? You know who I spend most of my time with? Me. I'm with me all the time. Can't get away from me. Sometimes I wish I could. I'll never forget that time, Ian. We was coming from Princeton, and he started talking in Princeton. And man, he was in a Gabby mood. And he talked all the way. He was a little fella too. Megan, he couldn't say all of his woods white. And he just talked, Dave, from Princeton to Beckley, through the toll, through Gin, all the way to Lowe's in Beckley. We're walking through Lowe's in Beckley, and he's still going. And all of a sudden, he said, I wish I'd shut up. He said, I'm getting on my own nerves. I said, how do you think I feel? You ever been to that place where you get on your own nerves? Have you ever been there? Raise your hand if you ever got on your own nerves. You're just like, man, what am I doing? It's amazing to me that this is one of the most, and I know we all do this, but here we go. This is one of the most selfish generations we have ever met. Some of you older people say amen. It's unbelievably selfish how this generation is. I was just talking to Rick. And I was telling y'all before, I can remember situations. People come to the house and you're working. You're like, hey, weed eater's in the garage. I ain't helping you. We laugh it off. But here's what, because it is such a self-serving generation, it's amazing to me that it's the most anxious generation, the most depressed generation. the most sad generation. You know why? Because it's a generation that is self-serving. Listen real close. You will never find joy till you stop serving yourself. Amen. You are never going to find peace until you stop serving yourself. We have never been called in Christianity to serve ourselves. As a matter of fact, we've been called to take up a cross and follow Him. And that is not about us, that's about Him. You will sacrifice for people that you love. That was the weakest amen we have ever had. You will sacrifice for people you love, won't you? You'll do whatever it takes for people you love, if you love them. If you don't love them, you won't sacrifice. Well, if I love Him, then what am I willing to do through Him? We all want to walk around saying, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. But the question I want to ask you tonight is, what can Christ do through you? You can do all things. And usually what that is, it's a lot of sports guys put it on their face. And what they're really wanting to do is win the game. And it's like, I can win this game. And all of that stuff. But what can Christ do through you? If I love Him, then I'm willing to sacrifice for Him. How can I do that? Let's back up one verse to verse 14. One verse before that, before it says stop living for yourself, listen to what it says. For the love of Christ constraineth me. It constraineth us. What constrains us? Come on, say it out loud. Let's get in here. The love of what? It does what? Constraineth me. Constraineth me. It constrains me. The love. Get up. Come here. There's something really, really awesome over there. And I know you want it. And your flesh wants it. And I know you just want to go over and just have a happy time. And you just want to get to it. You want to get to it. And sometimes you make the motion to go that way. Go ahead and make the motion. Love of Christ. Let me tell you what the love of Christ does. It will constrain you. It will stop you. I can give you a list of legalistic laws and tell you got to do all these things to be a Christian, and they will not constrain you. Amen. You know how I know? Don't ask me how I know. Because I lived under that economy for a while, where I thought I had to do this, and long as I punched those, Jason, I was good. You know what happens when you put those laws on you? You can't keep them, and then you're frustrated because you don't understand. It's not the law of God that constrains you. It's not the law of God that stops you. It's not the rules that keep you. It's the love of Christ that constrains you. It's His love that stops you. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Dave, it's His love that stops us. Now, we got to understand the love of Christ. We got to understand our identity. We got to understand who we are. She may not have been God's wife, but she must have been God's child. You know how He picked up that she was related to God? Because of what she did. Not what she talked about doing, not what she thought about doing. You know what we do, Dustin? We would rather pray about things than do things. It's so easy to talk about it, ain't it? Will you testify? This couple right here, will you testify for me? It is really, really easy for me to sit on a pew and say, our church needs to do more outreach. Let me tell you what's difficult to do is show up and help y'all stack those clothes when the church does outreach. But it's the love of Christ that constrains us. Listen, everybody's ministry is not the same. I get that. I got that. But I'm going to tell you this. If you've been called by God, you've been called to do something. Amen. Because not only does love constrain us, perfect love, what does it do? Cast out all fear. You know what's interesting about that word cast out? It's the same word that they use for casting out spirits. It's the same word. Perfect love cast out fear. So if perfect love cast out fear, then you know what I need? I need more love. What love for who? Love for him. Are you with me? Because the love will not only constrain, but it'll cast out. This is so good. Stand back up. There's all kinds of stuff over there that you just want to go do, and it's just going to be fun. You're going to have a good time. But here's what's really awesome. The love constrains us, but it also casts out. So what it does, it stops me from going to places I don't need to be, and it also casts out things that are trying to get to me. Let me do it like this. You see it? It stops me, and it stops that. This is the love of Christ. He loves you so much that if we can get this and we understand it, how do I say it? If we would let love be our governor, if we would let it be our government, then we're going to become more powerful than we've ever been. I can't walk into somebody who is riddled with cancer and pray for them through a law that I have been keeping. Oh, God, I have done so well this week, and I have kept my vows, and I've done all of these things, Lord, and I want you to heal them because of what I have done. That's not going to do anything. But if I take love and I apply it to cancer, cancer can't overcome love. Oh. It's the most powerful force we've been given. Amen. Amen? Watch this. Keep going. Can I keep going? Philippians 2, 4 through 5. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Next verse is, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Back up a verse. I want to help you out. I want to help you out real fast. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also. See that word also? That means in addition to. What it's saying here is that, how can I say this? He's not telling you to never mow your grass and mow all the neighbor's grass. That's not what he's telling you here. He's saying don't just look on your own things, but every man also on the things of others. Why are you preaching this tonight? Because I believe if we get this, Brandon, we're going to see God move like he hasn't moved before. Why do I believe that? Because that's the mind that Christ had. Darren, he didn't look on the things of himself. How do I know if you love somebody, you will sacrifice for them? Because the greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friend. So if love makes you sacrifice, and the ultimate example of love is Jesus. See, here's the problem. You read the Old Testament, and you get these revelations of who you think God is. Listen really closely to this statement. Any revelation that you have of God outside of Jesus Christ, get rid of it. It's a blurry vision. It's a blurry revelation. It's not fulfilled. It's not complete. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away with. People got a wrong revelation of God. You know what we do with that, Jason? We say, well, if God said kill the Amalekites, I can go over and punch that guy. You know what we use it for? We use the Old Testament so we feel justified to be hateful. An eye for, and a tooth for a tooth. You ever feel that way? Well, they done me wrong. They don't know who they're messing with. I may be saved. That don't mean I'm weak. Greatest power is not you standing up for yourself. He said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. If I trust him, then I need to hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battle, and then victory will be mine. What are we missing? What are we losing out on? Because we think that this is still up to us. It's not up to us. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. I'm going to teach you this real fast. For the people that don't know this, I've taught it years ago. You need to hear it today. How many people think Aaron's a pretty good piano player? Raise your hand if you're a pretty good piano player. Right? They did good tonight, didn't they? How about Josh? Think Josh pretty good up there on the guitar? Man, he's fun to watch. You know, man, it's just, all right. I don't know which one, man. It was a lot easier when I was younger. If we arm wrestled right now, who would win? I would. I got old man strength. So you'd say I'm probably stronger in my right arm than you are? But I can't play the piano. Even though I'm stronger in my right arm, that's the one you use the most, right? Yeah, I can't play. Because you know where the ability's at? It's not in the body. You know where the ability's at? In his mind. Now, if I could take his mind and put it in my body, guess what? Then I can play. Because the ability is in the mind. He said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. The ability is not in our strength. The ability is in the mind of Christ. Listen to this. If I get the mind of Christ, I will have the ability of Christ. Some people in this room would be dangerous with the power of God. Pull out in front of me, zap. Oh, she said that about my grandbaby? Watch this. It's why you don't have it. You would be zapping everybody. If you had the gift of healing, and I want you to be completely honest with me, okay? It's okay. You're human. I'm human. I don't know how it works. If you had the gift of healing, and your mother needed healed, and she's not going to make it without that healing, and some drunks up under the bridge, who are you going to go pray for? Your mother, right? But what if she's only going to live a month, and if you get him healed, he's going to turn his life and live for years? What are you going to do? Be honest with me. Oh, he can't. See? It's like, I don't know. You know why? Jesus never flinched. Jesus never had to guess. Jesus would walk through a crowd and a woman would press through the crowd and grab his robe, and he would stop and say, virtue just left me. Because here's the thing. If we're going to get this done, something is going to have to flow out of us to get it done. But the only way it can ever flow out of us is flow in us. We can sing about the river, Aaron, flowing out of us, but unless we have the mind of Christ, then it's not going to do us any good, because to get his power, I must have his mind. And let me tell you what Jesus was. He was the servant of all servants. It was Peter that would say, not so, Lord. You're not washing my feet. He said, if I don't wash you, you don't have no part of me. The greatest that ever walked this earth, Jason, was a servant. The first shall be, and the last shall be. So which way are we striving for? What are we striving for? We should be striving for the love of Christ to be revealed through us greater than it's ever been revealed through us. Amen? All right, let's go. Look not every man to his own things. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Give me that next verse. Verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. This is going to blow your mind. This is absolutely going to blow your mind. Jesus told his disciples, he said, these works, and not only these works, but greater will you do. Will you do? What are we missing? What are we missing? I'm going to tell you what we're missing. Wednesday night crowd, I love you. You know I love you. I'm so glad you're here on Wednesday night. What we're missing is this. Me first. Me first. Me first. We wonder why we're in the messes we're in because we're me first. And if we stay me first, we're going to live under our privilege that he designed us to walk in. Do you believe me? If I'm constantly me, 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 I'm going to miss it. Because he as my example, I must be servant first. Servant first. Servant first. How do you get that? How do you get that mentality? How do you get that? First of all, you got to realize who you are. If you're his child, you've been filled with his spirit. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead quickens your mortal body. So listen, if you go crazy on somebody and you say, and you have the Holy Spirit living in you and you say, I couldn't help it. You lied. You could have. So you need to repent for going crazy on those people and repent for lying saying you couldn't help yourself. The devil made me do it. Not when the love of Christ constrains you. Oh man, this is fun. This is kind of fun. Come on, Aaron. I think I'm done. Not when the love of Christ. The love of God is shed abroad in our by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. Some people are hard to love. Some people make it difficult. Jesus didn't seem to have a problem, did he? Matthew was a tax collector. He overtaxed the people. He overtaxed them. I've been around people. Can I say this? Y'all say, go ahead. I've been around pastors that overtax their people. Here's what you got to do. This. But I notice, Pastor, your kids don't do that. Do as I say, not as I do. Overtaxed. I'm overtaxing you, and I can't even pay it myself. But you know what? I love tax collectors because what we need to do is show them the love of God. Now, the other side is you're so liberal that you can do anything you want and get into heaven. Oh, come on. Come on. Is that, if you don't know anybody like that, it might be you. Listen really close. I can do anything I want. Anything. Anything I want. I can do anything I want and go to heaven. Oh, yes, I can. Yes, I can. I can do anything I want and go to heaven. Anything. Absolutely. Paul said it. All things are lawful. But the problem is, listen real close. The problem is, it ain't about the law to me. This is so good. He said, all things are lawful, but not expedient. So, because I've got a new nature, and it's the same nature that Christ had, I don't want to do those things. So I can still do whatever I want. The difference is my want to has changed. Can I get a witness? Your want to has changed because the Spirit made you alive. constrains me. Does it constrain you sometimes? Has the love of Christ ever just stepped in and just constrained you? Has it ever just casted things away? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to practice the love of God tonight on a Wednesday night. Y'all ready to practice? Stand up and hug the person beside you. I'm kidding. Don't. Some people don't like to be hugged. Even if their name rhymes with it, they don't like to be hugged. I want you to listen to this real fast. I want you to listen to this. This is from Diana Smallwood. Have the church pray for me. This surgery for the stent is very dangerous. She said, I'm really nervous. She said, I want the church to pray for me tonight. She's not here. We're going to have somebody stand in for her, and we are going to pray for her through the love of God. Do you love her? Do you love her? That's right. That's right. So we're going to pray. We're going to pray. We're going to pray that God watches over her, God protects her, that God moves through the surgeon's hands, whatever he's got to do. We're going to pray that God takes care of her. Amen? Amen. Somebody come up and stand in for her. Who's... Emily, come on, Emily. Come on. God, I just want you to apply your mercy, your compassion, Lord. God, as we pray as an act of faith, Lord, we're praying because we believe. God, you heal because you love. You heal people because you love people. You had compassion, Lord, and your compassion is able to touch, able to heal, able to deliver. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus that died for our sins.